Hi, this is Brian with Brian's Spain Domain, and today we are going to begin a new series in our selection of topics on Spain and Spanish history and the culture of Spain. And it's about Spanish wine, the history of Spanish wine, the culture of Spanish wine, and the world of Spanish wine, and all its variety and diversity. It's a great way to learn about the country, and if it goes well, we'll probably make it a permanent feature of our repertoire, to put it that way. So let's get started. We hope you enjoy it. Spain is one of the leading wine producers in the world. There's no doubt about that. It has been making wine and drinking it since that wonderful day when the Phoenicians, we assume it was the Phoenicians, brought the material and the know-how to this country or to this land to make it happen. And they've been refining the technique ever since. Spain is a part of the old world wine world, as opposed to new world wine countries like Australia, South Africa, Chile, and even the United States. Old world producers include many European countries, but the top three are undoubtedly France, Italy, and Spain, and probably in that order in terms of fame, though not so much production. In fact, until very recently, Spain has tended to lag behind those other countries in the area of gastronomy in general for years, and there was just no getting around it. For example, Spain annually produces about 50% of the world's olive oil and even exports a lot of it to Italy, and yet Italy gets a lot of the fame. Not that Spain isn't famous for its olive oil, it's just that when people think of olive oil, they often think of Italian olive oil first, when in fact quite a bit of it is actually olive oil from Spain. Anyway, getting back to wine. Things have changed a lot in the Spanish wine world, and it's been going on for years. I wrote a book back in 2004 called Let's Open a Bottle, which talked about Spain through its wine. Spain is a country that is so different from region to region in so many different ways that you could actually see that difference reflected through its wine. So that was sort of the premise there, and I think a lot of people enjoyed learning about Spain through the wine. Back then I described it as the Spanish Wine Revolution, and as I look back at it, it certainly was true. But it's been a long and constantly developing scene here, and regions that were still behind the times back then have since bloomed. Others, which were big names, have consolidated their situation. And there are even a few places which, in my opinion, seem to have failed to materialize in the way you would have expected. But we'll look at them too. But for the most part, the Spanish wine scene is as wild and dynamic as it's ever been, and there's no end to its ongoing transformation. And that's good news, because it wasn't always like that. What was Spain's situation like before? Well, like many of its products, Spain didn't have much of a reputation at all, which isn't necessarily a bad thing, but it isn't a good one either. You want people to associate it with quality. France has had a good name for a long time, and Italy has too. Spain was known for being a wine-drinking country, but that was about it. No one really knew what wines you could get there, and they certainly didn't know much about their quality. Perhaps the most famous wines years ago were the sherries, a fortified wine from the south of the country in Andalusia. But in a certain way, that's because the British had a weakness for them, especially the sweet versions. The ironic thing was that no one really drank sherry in Spain, or not very much, and especially in Madrid. There were a few bars that specialized in it, and you could always find an odd bottle of Tio Pepe, lying around in most places, but it wasn't that common at all. So you had this sort of this paradox of its most famous international wine not really being as popular in the country itself. Now it's enjoying a pretty serious comeback, but we'll talk about that in due time. Anyway, suffice it to say that Spanish wine had a low-key position in the world of wine, despite being one of the largest producers. And there were a number of reasons for that. Spain was a mass wine-producing country, a wine producer for the masses, that is. The majority of it was produced for daily consumption or exported anonymously in bulk to other countries like Germany and Switzerland, where it was bottled generically. It was all about quantity over quality, and though it worked for a while, the reputation of Spain's wine was paying a price for it. Another factor had to do with drinking habits. Decades ago, the Spanish, like many Europeans, drank more wine on a daily basis. Wine was more like something you consumed every day, basically a part of your meal, like bread, water, and olive oil, a glass or two, and the same thing for dinner. For that to be viable, wine had to be cheap, and it was. It wasn't fancy, but it wasn't supposed to be. Spain was also a poor country back then. And the other factor would have been that Spain as a whole struggled to find the right marketing angle to get its name out there among the titans of viticulture. In fact, it struggled in many ways in the food and drink department. Spanish gastronomy, the food offer here, is amazingly rich and diverse. It's basically a paradise for foodies. And finally, it's beginning to earn the reputation that it deserves. But that's probably thanks to globalization more than anything else. But that was pretty much it. You did have a few wine regions out there that were famous, especially Rioja, but that was almost the long and short of it. I'm quite serious about this. But then starting in the 1970s or so, a kind of quiet revolution began to softly emerge, and it's been going on ever since. It started in places like Rueda, in the region of Castilla-León, where a small, low-key region began to flourish as the nation's top white wine-producing region. And just a little further north of that, Ribera del Duero, which used to specialize in rosés, they were known as claretes, began to flex its muscles as a major fine red wine producer. Galicia in the northwest gained traction for its elegant Albariño, a white wine. And in Catalonia, a tiny region called Priorato, which used to produce powerful, bold wines, I mean very powerful, and they were cheap, toned down its brazen features and came up with one of the most unique wines in the world. And in passing, they also turned into some of the most expensive in Spain. But anyway, the point is, winemakers and wine producers were finally taking a new look, a different look, a second look at all the potential that this country had. And when they put their minds to it, and their money, and their effort, they began to come up with things that were absolutely amazing. So those, along with Rioja, for example, were the leaders in the early phases. But soon enough, the other places were getting involved, and just about every region has something remarkable to offer. I'm talking about regions like Bierzo, Toro, Calatayud, Jumilla. All of these have something to say for themselves. And the Spanish have also become more knowledgeable in grape varieties. So you now hear people ordering Mencias and Tempranillos and Garnachas or Godellos, for example. Many of those were never mentioned before. Drinking habits have also changed. The Spanish drink less wine. They drink a lot more beer by far, believe it or not. but they are beginning to drink more quality wine. So production has declined, but what they do make is generally a lot better. So that's something to look forward to. The Spanish wine scene is as exciting as it's ever been. There are now about 75 regions in the country, in addition to dozens of independent wineries. There are new labels, new wines, new sensations coming out all the time. So I will be telling you about everything. Everything I possibly can, from the regions to the history to the world of Spanish wine in general to different wineries. And hopefully we can enjoy this together, because knowing about Spanish wine is knowing about Spain better, its diversity, its traditions, and the country itself. So stick with me, and hopefully we'll learn more together. And that'll be all for today. We hope you have enjoyed this podcast by Brian Spain Domain. Please feel free to leave us any comments, because we love the feedback. You can subscribe to our podcast on Spotify, Apple, Amazon, and Castos. Or if you wish to support Brian Spain Domain, we'd greatly appreciate it. We work very hard to provide you with the best information about Spain, Spanish history, Spanish culture, as we possibly can. You can support us by clicking on our PayPal donate button, or if you want to have access to absolutely all of our podcasts and support us regularly, you can check us out on Patreon at the link provided below. Stay well, stay safe, and hasta pronto.